Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour is brought to you by Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they're there for life. The Rediscover Hour starts now.
Hello, friends. Welcome to the Rediscover Hour. Patrick Conley with you here again. Great to be with you. It is cold. It's cold out there this weekend. And I'm hoping that you are somewhere warm. You and your loved ones are somewhere warm and enjoying this program here, whether at home or in the car. I pray that all of your heat is working. Good time to remember, of course, all of those who need shelter, who are in need of shelter and care that way. In our prayers and also in our giving, in the ways that we can contribute to the well-being of others in our society here. You might say this cold is a quickening cold. It brings life into us. I always try to remind myself, I'm not always successful, when I breathe in cold air and I feel it stinging my lungs, that it's a good reminder that we are alive. And that ties in actually with what we're going to be talking about today on the Rediscover Hour. January is Pro-Life Month, and we're looking at pro-life in all of its facets, and we hope to be covering that throughout the month, not just here on the Rediscover Hour, but also in hopefully our parishes, in our prayers, in our thoughts, and in our actions as well. And it is... what is it now? The 44th anniversary of the Roe v. Wade decision coming up here on the 22nd of the month. And in addition to that, though, it's also another anniversary this year. This year is the 50th anniversary of Pope Paul VI's encyclical Humanae Vitae, which very prophetically spoke of what would happen should we choose to engage with artificial contraception and approve of that in the Church specifically. And it was Bishop Barron who actually, he's released a video on this very recently. You can go and find that on wordonfire.org, his own website. But he opened my eyes to that and reminded me of how prophetic Pope Paul VI was. I have a little excerpt here that I'd like to read from Humanae Vitae, which can be found online free of charge just by Googling Humanae Vitae. But this is from section 17, that responsible men can become more deeply convinced of the truth of the doctrine laid down by the Church on this issue, on artificial contraception, if they reflect on the consequences of methods and plans for artificial birth control. Let them first consider how easily this course of action could open wide the way for marital infidelity and a general lowering of moral standards. Not much experience is needed to be fully aware of human weakness and to understand that human beings, and especially the young who are so exposed to temptation, need incentives to keep the moral law, and it isn't an evil thing to make it easy for them to break that law. Another effect that gives cause for alarm is that a man who grows accustomed to the use of contraceptive methods may forget, now listen up folks, may forget the reverence due to a woman, and disregarding her physical and emotional equilibrium, reduce her to being a mere instrument for the satisfaction of his own desires, no longer considering her as his partner, whom he should surround with care and affection. That's right from Pope Paul VI in 1968. And especially given the everything that has come out this past year in 2017, with everything that was going on about just how rampant kind of sexual harassment and the, well, exactly that, the lowering of the esteem for women and the dignity of woman, and how that's become cast into the public eye, I think that should remind us that there are consequences for our actions. And it seems to me that certainly the way that we have in our society turned to abortion as a possibility for... well, we know how it's proclaimed as a freedom, a sexual freedom that comes along with that, and the supposedly contributing to the dignity of a woman because she can then not be confined or constrained by the pregnancy. That even if a man steps out of the picture, she not feel any longer constrained or confined by that. Really, though, we need to take that one along the Paul VI line, I think. and think about that and say, well, in actuality, the consequences for abortion are much, much, much more dear and actually exactly opposed to that. I think it certainly does. It infringes on the dignity of a woman, and it enslaves her rather than frees her, enslaves her in so many profound ways. But I am not the expert on this. Fortunately, we have some guests with us who are the experts on this, and that's who we're going to be talking with throughout the program today. First of all, from Options for Women East, we have Greg Menke and Jennifer Meyer, who are going to share with us about their important ministry, and specifically that, giving options for women who are facing pregnancies that were unplanned or pregnancies that they are just needing some assistance with. We're going to be talking with them. We're also going to be hearing from Sean Peterson and Rachel Herbeck from the Minnesota Catholic Conference about some of the things that are coming up even this month or next month regarding some of the ways that we can be involved as Catholics legislatively. That's what's coming up on the Rediscover Hour this morning, and throughout, again, through January, we hope to be focusing in on that, seeing how the Lord is continuing to raise up new warriors for life in this culture. So as we begin this show, but also this very important pro-life month, we want to pause and commit it to our Lord through the intercession of our Blessed Mothers. Together we pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We're going to take our first break, but when we come back, Greg Menke and Jennifer Meyer from Options for Women East talking about their ministry to women with pregnancies.
Catholic United Financial is all about life and the richness and joy it brings to the families and communities they serve every single day. And they have been for over 138 years. As a fraternal life insurance company, after expenses are paid and reserves are set aside, Catholic United pays it forward and pours their profits back into the communities they serve as grants, scholarships, and more. Think of them as a financial cooperative with a helpful heart. We're all betting the unexpected won't happen to us, right? Unfortunately, events like serious life-threatening health problems can set you back financially, draining your savings or future retirement income. A Catholic United life insurance policy may be able to offset the cost of this care that could cost thousands of dollars per month. Visit CatholicUnitedFinancial.org or call 651-765-6548. Enjoy your life and connect with your local Catholic United rep. Find out how they can help you be ready to face the unexpected, because help is what they do.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour here on Relevant Radio. Good to be with you in January Pro-Life Month as we are talking about pro-life issues. And joining me right now in studio are two representatives from Options for Women East, Greg Menke, who is the current board president and has been on the board for 5 years, and his wife, also Diane, has also a board member. He is a native St. Paulite and past Grand Knight, currently a council trustee with Father Finley Council of the Knights of Columbus and St. Paul East Metro, and an active member of Transfiguration Catholic Church. Also joining us is Jennifer Meyer, who's been with Options East for over 4 years and the executive director for the past year and a half. She and her husband and three children and dog live out in Woodbury. So welcome to the program to both of you. Thanks for being with us.
Great to be here.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, I'm very intrigued, and so I want to jump right in with finding out more about Options for Women East. So give me an idea of what is Options for Women East, where you're located.
Well, first of all, thank you so much for this opportunity. Options for Women East is a pregnancy medical clinic, and all its services are provided free of charge. We are located on the east side of St. Paul at 891 White Bear Avenue. For those familiar with us, that is close to the intersection of Stillwater Road and White Bear Avenue.
Oh, sure.
So we've been in business now for 28 years.
Wow, okay.
And we were founded in 1989 as Life Care Center East. And I'd like to say that our doors opened on January 22nd, a very significant anniversary date, of 1990. And I should correct myself, though. I can't say doors. I can say door, because we were in the back room of a drugstore.
Is that right?
Yeah. So that's how we started, in a totally volunteer staff.
Wow.
So this year, on the 22nd, is our 28th anniversary. And in 2004, we were able to purchase our current building, and it was a Health East system clinic. And the purchase of that building was very significant for us. It, it created us, allowed us to evolve into from a center to a clinic. And today, with the help of your sponsor, Catholic United Financial, our mortgage holder, we have a very well-placed and welcoming clinic. So from very humble beginnings, we have evolved into one of the largest pro-life clinics in Minnesota.
Wow.
Today we find ourselves operating well beyond what our founders had envisioned. But it is precisely because of the vision of our founders that we are where we're at today. I just like to quote somebody who lived 900 years ago, St. Francis of Assisi, who said, "Start by doing what is necessary, then what is possible, and suddenly you're doing the impossible." And I believe these words fit us very well, and they're found at the top of our monthly board agenda. I believe also that these are words that everybody can live by.
Yeah, can you say it one more time? Let's just catch that.
Start by doing what is necessary. The key word is start. Then what is possible, and suddenly you are doing the impossible.
What a great quote, especially pertinent in the types of services that I understand you're trying to offer in a culture that doesn't always welcome them. Yeah, Jennifer, let's just to ask you, what kind of services does your clinic offer?
So, like you said, everything is free. We have pregnancy testing with that limited ultrasounds, STI testing and treatment, education, but we are really, really proud of our prenatal program. We started that about 4 years ago. We have three volunteer doctors. They work all day. They come after their full-time job. They volunteer their time. And we have currently 15 people in our prenatal program. So the goal is you're having a woman come in, you're meeting her where she is and her reality, what her needs are, what her view on life is. And we're walking that journey all the way through the pregnancy, the delivery. Our doctors are delivering those babies. We're taking them that whole next year until the baby's first birthday. So resources, referrals, medical, anything they need around that pregnancy, we're there for them.
Yeah, I think that's very interesting too, that it's not just the pregnancy. You know, you don't abandon them at the birth of the child, right? As with so many things, that you spend a lot of time in preparation. And then, although the pregnancy ends, then some real different work begins, and you're seeing them through that first year. Yeah?
Absolutely. Parenting, newborn care, single moms, housing. They usually come in with barriers, issues, other problems. And sometimes they see that if I take away this pregnancy, everything else is going to fall into place. If I just make this go away, everything else in my life will be perfect. And we know that's not true. But in that moment, that's where they sit. So we are trying to give them this space to process, to have that moment to know there's other options. And what is that? You know, let's explore what else there is. And we want to be there for them. We're asking them the really good questions that nobody else is asking. We're giving them the space to have that moment that they may not get.
Wow. And give me an idea of the numbers again. You mentioned how many you've got right now, but numbers of clients that you are currently serving or have served in the past, what does that look like?
Absolutely. So last year we served over 1,100 clients. We provided over 3,400 services. We had 300 prenatal visits. And with that, 14 stayed in the program all the way through birth, and we gave birth to 14 babies.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. thanks be to God for that. Wow.
Absolutely.
Just wonderful. And just curious, Jennifer, staying with you for just a moment. What if a woman were to walk in the door?
Okay.
Because this is always something we've had other representatives from other pregnancy clinics on before. And I always like to ask, what should a woman expect when she walks in the door of Options for Women East?
She walks in, there should be a very serene lobby, welcoming, judgment-free. I hate that we even have to say that. Someone who is going to, again, give her the time to process what's going on in her life. Ask her, you know, where do you sit with this? What do you need from us right now? Because everyone wishes someone would ask them that question every day. What can we do for you? How can we help you through this? It's not about us. It's all about them.
Right. And so that's and all of these people who are providing this environment, as well as all the care and the judgment-free,
Absolutely.
You said, I know, all of that. They're all volunteers.
Actually, ours are staff.
Oh, yours are staff. Okay.
Ours are staff. Right. Client. Yep. We have volunteers that help around the clinic.
Okay.
Yep.
Good. All right. Very good. Very good. Wow. Okay. Greg, back to you for just a minute. So, you know, there's lots of folks who I'm sure would want to take advantage of the services that you offer, but there's probably a good share of our listeners who, although they may know somebody who needs to take advantage of your services, but how can other people get involved, even if they don't know somebody? How can they help?
I think the best way for people to get involved and help is to just start. To get involved is to just take that first step. Look at, for me, one of the big things people can do is they can pray for us. We're in a battle. It's a spiritual battle. We understand that. We need prayers. Prayers make all the difference. As we look back on our history as a clinic, we can see the hand of God intervening many times, whether it be financial or with a particular client. God's hand is with us, and we want to do God's will. We want to do that in the kindest way possible, not to have people feel like they're being coerced or judged. And so that's just that's very important for us. The other thing that I think would be good, if people are say, this sounds pretty good, but I don't really know a lot about it, I would say we have a mailing list. We put out 3-4 different mailings a year. You can get to know us through these mailings, and we encourage you to get on our mailing list, and we'll make that information available. I think the third thing is if the Spirit really moves you, become a financial supporter of us. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be a big deal, but if you feel like what we're doing is meaningful and you want to participate in that and you can't physically be there to participate with us, your money is what drives us and keeps us going. We have, in my view, we have, in order for faith, hope, and love to abide, we have an abode. This is where people come. This is a kind of a home away for home from them. And in order to have that abode, it takes money.
Mm-hmm.
All our services are free, but because of what we're doing, it's very technical, medical and technical. So we have paid staff. So those are, I think, some of the things that I see that are very important in helping us in this struggle, this great battle that we're in.
Thank you. Jennifer, well, first of all, let me ask you, how did you first come to be involved with Options for Women East?
Cute. I was a volunteer. My daughter was going there for summer stretch for church, and parent chaperone, you know, saw the center. And my backstory is at 19, I was at a place like that. Had my first child at 20, and my memory was knowing there was someone there, supportive, loving, willing to help. Very positive memory for me. So being there kind of brought that all back, and I thought, well, this is where I need to give. Life happens. A couple years later, I finally come in, volunteer. I started as a volunteer, very small, was asked to work a few hours, a few more. And if anyone knows, an ED wears many, many hats. That's where I am now. So,
yeah. Very good. Very good. Yeah, I can imagine you have a number of things to do, including appearing on radio stations.
Yes, you know.
Radio programs from time to time. That's right. Yeah, it's very good. So, especially, I think there are many, many women who do face that, and who maybe even listening now, who, yeah, that is something that they can consider, that not only taking advantage of the services, but if they have been through that kind of an experience. I think you all know far more than the rest of us about what that sensation is like, what that feels like to be in that place of just not knowing that the life has completely changed for you in the blink of an eye, or that sort of thing. I'm just curious, too, about the clinic itself, and as we were asking Greg there, are there any other thoughts in your head about the way that people can get involved, people can help, people can assist? Because I know this is deep in the hearts of people, especially as we focus on it in January.
Absolutely. Like you said, prayers. You know, number one, please pray for us. Like you said, our goal is to walk in every day and do God's work and work through Him. And we need your prayers to help do that. We have been completely blessed. We just take those moments and say, you know, God, I give it up to you, and He responds. With that, our goal is to just keep moving. We want to keep growing those programs. We really want to keep growing prenatal. We have those women walk in that don't have insurance. They don't know how to get insurance. They don't understand the importance of seeing a doctor through their pregnancy until something happens. So we are really trying to grow that program, fill that void. And with that, we need more, like you said, technical medical trained staff and some more volunteer doctors. And yeah, so financially, that is where we would put our money to keep that going, to fill that need in our community.
Is there any need for, you said your daughter got involved
as a
summer volunteer.
Yeah. Oh, we love volunteers.
Okay. Yeah. What can a volunteer do at Options East?
So, example, I have a group coming in on Saturday,
okay,
and they're going to be putting together strollers and organizing baby clothes, putting together baskets. They love it.
Wow. Great. And is this something that just do different
ongoing
churches or parishes?
Different
bring
churches,
in
groups. Yeah. I do have a few that come in, for, confirmation hours, for, things for school. Yeah.
Well, being an RE director, I'm always in search of confirmation hour ideas. So
yes,
thank you for giving
yes
me that. I will mark that down. I will see how that pans out. Do you have a website?
We do.
Okay.
Well, our client website is optionsforwomeneast.com.
Mm-hmm.
You can go and see our services, what we do for clients. And then for donors, it is OffWePartners, so OFWEPartners.com.
Wow. And that's an open way of intersecting with people online. Perfect. And is that the best way to
You can
contact?
Do that. Otherwise, we have a Facebook page.
Okay.
OFWE Partners. You can find us there. Otherwise, yeah, everything's on the website.
All right. OptionsForWomenEast.com is the client website. And
OFWEPartners.com.
Okay. All right. Well, just in our closing couple of minutes here, I want to ask you both, Greg, back to you maybe first. If you were to offer just a word of encouragement to those who are maybe in a situation, those women who are in a situation where, yeah, right now they're not sure where to turn to, what to do, they're facing an unexpected pregnancy, what would your word of encouragement and advice be to them?
Just come to us, talk to us. We aren't going to judge you. We are just going to let you know what there is out there for you. No strings attached, and don't do something that you'd be sorry for the rest of your life. Please come and talk to us.
Great. Yeah. Jennifer, what about you?
I'd pretty much say you're not alone. It is probably one of the loneliest things that you can go through. And in that moment, I mean, you do. Your life changes. And you start thinking of many things that you probably would do that you wouldn't normally do. And you just need someone to walk you through it.
Yeah. Don't we all? I mean, that's kind of a good mantra for life right there. We need one another, right?
We do.
Yeah, well, I am so grateful for the ways that Options for Women East offers just that for women who are in an unhappy position of trying to make decisions, trying to make sense out of life. So Jennifer Meyer, Executive Director, Greg Menke, Board President, we thank you of Options for Women East. Let's say it one more time. Thank you so much for being on the Rediscover Hour this morning.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, well, great to hear from them. And we are going to go to our next break. And as we do so, we're going to come back with Sean Peterson and Rachel Herbeck from the Minnesota Catholic Conference and events coming up there that you'll want to be aware of. Discover.
How has Relevant Radio impacted your daily walk with our Lord?
When you can hear other people's stories of faith, stories of struggles, really helps me in my faith to know that I'm not alone. It doesn't matter where we are across the miles, we're all together as part of the body of Christ. That station has really blessed my life.
You just never know what you're going to hear on Relevant Radio that's going to help you on your path to heaven, to take you to that next level spiritually. There's always something new every single day with all of our hosts, with the three priests who answer your questions every day, with the other guests that we have. Your donation goes a long way to touching souls.
Donate now on the Relevant Radio website or app, or give us a call, 1-877-291-0123. That's 1-877-291-0123.
When you call, ask about making a recurring gift. There are benefits for both you and for Relevant Radio.
I'll find you there. I'll find you there. It's here that I call out.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour here on Relevant Radio. Patrick Conley with you again, along with Susanna Parent, our producer, Paul Sadek, our technical producer. Coming to you from the Golden Valley Relevant Radio Studios, 1330 AM, and we're always, as always, grateful for their generosity to us in being able to record the Rediscover Hour out here. Continuing on with our pro-life episode of the Rediscover Hour, I want to invite and welcome into the studio right now Rachel Herbeck and Sean Peterson. Sean Peterson is the Associate Director for Public Policy of the Minnesota Catholic Conference, which he joined in 2014. And before coming to the MCC, he was president of his own government relations firm specializing in school choice and reform issues. Rachel, who is the outreach and policy coordinator of the Minnesota Catholic Conference, is a recent graduate from the University of St. Thomas and holds a BA in Catholic Studies. And prior to joining the MCC team, she worked in real estate and also has experience with the Center for Family and Human Rights and the National Organization for Marriage. So, Sean and Rachel, welcome to the program. Good to have you with us.
Yeah, thank you so much for having us on.
Yeah, well, let's start just a little bit, kind of outline for me what each of you do with the Minnesota Catholic Conference. We've had Jason Adkins on in the past, and yeah, help fill out a little bit more about what the MCC actually is.
Sure, absolutely. So the Minnesota Catholic Conference is the public policy voice for the Catholic Church in the state of Minnesota. And my main job is really to be the boots on the ground at the Capitol. Mm. And with our legislative agenda and, you know, trying to get those things passed that the bishops feel are important legislatively, build relationships with members of the legislature and the executive branch, and then also with, you know, different coalitions that we work closely with on a variety of issues, life issues, you know, homelessness, economic issues, school choice, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What about you, Rachel?
Yeah, so I, even though my job is policy and outreach, the crux of my work is really outreaching to Catholics in the pew. So the average Catholic in the pew on a Sunday, my job is to connect with them and really help them understand, how does my faith connect with citizenship? So really help them make that link. And for a lot of Catholics, you know, this idea of Catholic social teaching, or that the church would have a role in what laws are made, is really a best kept secret. It's something that's foreign to them. So it's really helping people connect. How can I be a disciple in the public arena?
Well, let me just dovetail right off of that, because tell us a little bit more about how you engage, and just tell us, why should Catholics be concerned about what goes on in the legislature? Easy for me to say.
Right. So, you know, we'll dive into this a little bit more when we talk about a great event that we have coming up. But really, the point of it is, you know, we've had all of our recent popes are talking about evangelization, and we have Pope Francis talking about Catholics being missionary disciples. You know, this idea that every single Catholic is called to be a missionary and to be a disciple. And so really, for us, we see that connects perfectly to being involved in the public arena, because as Catholics, we're called to be Jesus to our neighbor, right? We're called to take care of our neighbor, to take care of the least of those who are poor, those who are in need. And really, what better way to do that than to get involved in lawmaking to help reorder society toward the good? So we need to be involved in policy and lawmaking and making our Catholic voice heard so that we can order society in a way where everybody can flourish, you mm-hmm. know, where so the poor can flourish, so the unborn can have a chance to flourish, and, you know, from womb to tomb, as we say, so that everybody can have a chance to flourish and ultimately try to create conditions that can help people get to heaven.
Right, right. Because as we've talked before, that the true freedom is really the freedom to be able to become the person that God has created you to be, to choose the good, to choose those things which are important to becoming the man or the woman that God has created you to be.
And absolutely.
That occurs on all levels, it seems, mm-hmm. both the macro and the micro. So, excellent. So, Sean, back to you for just a minute.
Sure.
So, you're in the Capitol. You're your boots on the ground, as you said, yes. that sort of thing. So, what do you enjoy about that?
I don't know. Maybe I'm a glutton for punishment. I'm not really sure. No, I just, you know, ever since I was little, I was really interested in politics and the legislative process. And, you know, I was kind of a political geek in high school and college. But I like it because I think people would be very surprised that just a few people can make a difference at the Capitol. As you said, I worked there for almost 17 years in the Capitol and working for members of the legislature. And sometimes only 10 or 15 people would contact them about a bill, because there's almost 5,000 bills introduced every session. Legislators do not have the time or capacity to know what's in every single one of these bills. Some of them are very small issues. And so it's really important for people to realize you can make a huge difference. And I think that's, you know, my thought was I was going to go out, graduate from college. I was going to move out to D.C. because that's where the action's at. Mm-hmm. But 90% of what affects our daily lives happens at our state legislature. And, you know, from, again, big important issues, life issues, school choice issues, poverty issues. And as Catholics, as, you know, as Rachel was saying, we have a responsibility. We can't just leave it up to our neighbor to contact their legislator. And the other thing to remember is that the legislators are our neighbors. They're living in our neighbors. They're not these special people that are, you know, come in here and to legislate. They're our neighbors. So they want to hear our points of view. And as Catholics, we have a responsibility to let them know what we think as Catholics.
Right. And I think that is, I'm glad you touched on that. I think that is a common misconception about our legislators, or those who are serving in that capacity. I always think of D.C. when I think of Congress and legislators, and yet I work at the cathedral on my day job every day. I glance over, there's the Capitol building, and I have to be honest, it rarely even just passes through my head that, yeah, they're making laws that are gonna change the lives of the people that I'm seeking to, you know, come into contact with, share the gospel with, you know, that sort of thing. Very good. So, we've got this event coming up. You alluded to it there, mm-hmm. Rachel. What is Capitol 101? Can you walk us through that?
Yeah. So, I mean, what you just said, Patrick, is actually a perfect intro into why we're doing Capitol 101, is the amount of people that pass the Capitol or know it's there but really have no idea what goes on in the Capitol or what's happening on a regular basis is most people in Minnesota. It was me before I started getting involved in this work. And so the point of this event, and Sean will go into the nuts and bolts of it, but is to really give Catholics on the ground an idea of what's going on in here, you know, to demystify this idea of lawmaking and this idea of the legislative process. So the point is to give Catholics an opportunity to come to the Capitol and to understand the legislative process and leave equipped to really make a difference. And Sean can talk a little bit about what that will look like.
Yeah, so as Rachel said, really part of it is to demystify the whole process. You know, for those of us that are sort of Capitol veterans or insiders and have been there a long time, you know, we know what a conference committee is and third reading and, you know, all these mystical terms. I mean, the Capitol sort of has its own culture and language.
The third reading is the gospel reading, isn't it? That's yeah, right. Anyway.
Yes. Right. Yes. Legislation according to Luke.
Yes.
Really what we want to do is we want to spend the day just really, you know, as this is kind of boot camp for citizen, you know, advocacy. We're gonna have people come down. We're going to tell them about the legislative process, but in, you know, really simple terms. This is how it works. This is the best time for you to get involved, to contact your legislator. We're going to visit some committee hearings, and so that's not such a scary thing. You know, we often call upon people to come down to the Capitol and testify because they want to hear from average, ordinary citizens. They don't want to always hear from lobbyists and, you know, quote-unquote experts. They want to hear what their friends and neighbors think about these bills. And sometimes that can be scary, sitting at a testifying table, you know, looking out on this sea of, you know, 20 legislators. So we want to show them what a committee hearing looks like, hopefully show them a floor session if there is one that day. But just really, you know, tell them about the work of MCC and what we do and how we're down there representing, you know, Catholic beliefs at the legislature. And so it's going to be nuts and bolts.
Yeah.
It's going to be, we've got some great fun videos that we're going to show about how the legislative process works. And we're going to hear from some legislators. We're going to have them come in and talk about what it's like to be a legislator, a citizen legislature in Minnesota. So I think they're going to be fun, engaging days. And, you know, I'm hoping we get a good turnout and, you know, have people come down. We've got great information at mncatholic.org. You can find out about the days and what we're going to be doing. We'll be putting up some schedules on there, and so people can find out more information.
Great. And this is a series of events.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the first one is
February 26th. So going along with the whole theme of making this approachable, we want this day to be easy for people. So there's three options. The first is February 26th. The second is March 16th. And then the third is April 17th. And they're just 3 hours long, from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. And then people will have the opportunity with our guidance and help to actually schedule one-on-one meetings with their legislators after the official event is over. So we want to make it easy for people to come down, don't have to take a whole day off of work, or don't have to, you know, schedule things too far in advance. But hey, come on down and see that the Capitol isn't so scary after mm-hmm. all, you know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so now I was at the Catholics at the Capitol event last year. In fact, the Rediscover Hour was there. We did some interviews of people mm-hmm. there and just to get their take. And by and large, everyone was saying, well, by and large, unanimously, actually, and all the people that I talked to said this was a really important event, and they were very glad that they came. And we had parishes busing in students from Catholic schools. We had busloads of adults and that sort of thing. So who is this for? Who is Capitol 101 for? Is it something similar? It sounds like there's some similarities and some differences to what Catholics at the Capitol was.
Yeah, Capitol 101 is definitely a more intimate event. It's going to be 100 people at each event, so registration is limited. So that's a little plug for go on the website and register. So it's more intimate, and it's really for anybody who's curious about this stuff, who wants to get more involved. The biggest thing that I hear when I travel around to the diocese is, yeah, this stuff is interesting to me and I'm passionate about it, but what do I do? Mm-hmm. You know, how do I get involved? And I think Catholics at the Capitol was a real launching point for that, for people of realizing, oh, this isn't so hard after all. And so that's something we want to do with Capitol 101. So anyone who's interesting in being educated and equipped to be involved in the legislature and in the public arena, this event is for you.
Okay, very good.
And I think that's a great point. Just going back to Catholics at the Capitol, it was interesting the morning of when people were coming in, people were coming up to me, just knowing that I'm at the Capitol and what I do. And the biggest comment I heard was, oh, I'm so nervous to meet with my legislator today. I'm so mm-hmm. nervous about this. This is the one, you know, I don't know if I can do this or not. And then at the end of the day, to a person, all those people are, oh, you know, the best part of my day was meeting with my legislator. You know, he or she, they're just like me. They wanted to hear what I thought. They'd never heard about some of the bills we were talking about, you know, in the way we were talking about them. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it was really amazing that turned around in just one meeting. And we had a lot of people afterward that said, you know, I'm going to follow up with my legislator. I'm going to meet them for coffee in the district. And so that's a great way for Catholics to build that relationship, you know, and get that first experience. And so we're really hoping that, you know, with these Capitol 101s, that they, you know, they're sort of mini opportunities to do that.
Yeah, to become more involved in the whole legislative process and sharing their views and their opinions with their legislators as well. I think that's foundationally important. And just to remind our listeners, as we're talking with Sean Peterson and Rachel Herbeck from the Minnesota Catholic Conference, that this is something, this is our bishop's public policy, that's their foot in the Capitol building, and they want and desire our support. This is not an optional thing for our faith. We need to be in prayer about it, but we also need to be, well, maybe not quite to the extent that you are, Sean, but we need to be some boots on the ground, too. We need to get in there. We need to have these conversations. Yeah. So just attendance is limited. Who's invited? Is this meant to be adults? Is this meant to be older people, younger people, everybody?
Really everyone. And, you know, I would encourage, you know, high school students, if you want to bring a group to come down, if you want to bring a group from your parish, come down. You know, it's going to be information that everyone can understand. And we really want to get everyone involved. You know, the younger people can start. You know, it's great to get young people involved in this stuff, understanding this call and this responsibility. And it's great to have older people there, you know, continuing and staying involved. So really, if you want to come with your kids, if you want to come with a group of college students, if you just want to come by yourself or some friends, you know, it's really, the doors are open to everybody.
Well, just following up on that, Rachel, so you said that you didn't have a huge understanding of this before mm-hmm. you started getting involved with Minnesota Catholic Conference and
yeah.
that sort of thing. What was it that tripped it for you? What had you kind of bridge that gap and start understanding the necessity of this?
Yeah. For me, it was really, you know, my conversion and my deeper encounter with the person of Jesus Christ. And, you know, I grew up in a great Catholic family, and so I had an understanding of a lot of the social issues that we talk about, you know, the family being the building block of society, human sexuality, and I had a passion for those things. But when I was in college and when I encountered Jesus, the way I saw people around me started to change, because as I came to Jesus in prayer and as I had a relationship with him that was intimate and personal, the person next to me wasn't just some random person, you know, and the poor person that I was seeing or the homeless person that I was seeing wasn't just some random person. I really began to see that person as Jesus. Mm-hmm. And that started to change the way that I approached my life. And so I started to want to do something about it. And I saw this as a really concrete way to do that. And so really, you know, I had a meeting not that long ago with some women who are super involved in this stuff, and they said to me, "We don't like politics, but we do it because we love Jesus." Hmm. We're involved in this stuff not because we like it, but because we love Jesus. And that's exactly how I feel as well.
Wow, great. Sean, how about you, if I can ask a similar question? I mean, you served for a number of years in various governmental responsibilities, that sort of thing, and then came to work for the Minnesota Catholic Conference. How did that happen? How did that transition happen?
You know, the opportunity just presented itself, and I thought, you know, if I can do, I loved working at the Capitol because, again, I loved the service aspect of it, and, you know, felt that my work there was doing good, you know, for the common good, for the greater good of society. But when I had an opportunity to work for an organization like the Catholic Conference, that I could put my faith and, you know, my love for working at the Capitol together, I mean, that was just a sweet spot. It was such a blessing to be able to, you know, work for this organization, to represent the bishops at the Capitol. That's a great honor for me. And, you know, and it's interesting. I mean, I worked in the Republican caucus, but, you know, now I'm working with issues that's interesting. I'll walk into a Republican legislator's office that knows that I work for the caucus. And, you know, sometimes people want to put our issues into the liberal or conservative boxes.
Right.
And you just can't do that with
it's
the church.
It's really difficult, yeah.
We can't do that with the church. Yeah. You know, we have to, these are gospel values. And, you know, the bishops, you know, don't just come up with these things out of thin air. These are, you know, deeply thought of policy positions that are rooted in gospel values. And so that's, you know, I love being able to go to the Capitol and discuss these things with people. And, you know, if they don't hear our voice, if they don't hear the church's voice, they're going to hear someone else's voice.
Mm-hmm.
And so I feel that's an important voice that has to be in the halls of the Capitol. And so, yeah, I love my job. Love being able to do this.
Well, and like you said before, just to come circle back around to that, You said on some of the bills that are presenting themselves to the legislators, they're hearing from 10, maybe 15 constituents. That's it.
Yep.
And so there's tremendous possibility for some influence here, is what I'm hearing.
Oh, absolutely. No, that's very true. Like I said, when I worked there, I would remember that. A legislator wouldn't, what is that little bill? Can you go find out what that is? I got 8 people that called me about it. Well, those are the 8 people that called them. So that's how he came down on that issue. You know, and we're not talking about, major like life bills and things like that. But
sure.
I'll give you just a great quick example. I was meeting with the legislator about 3 weeks ago. And meeting with them on a different issue. But at the end of the meeting, I thought, well, I always try to get one more issue in there.
Sure.
And so I brought up our commercial surrogacy issue. Well, he had thought it was just surrogacy generally and hadn't really known what our bill did. And, and when we got done, he's like, well, wait a minute, if it's commercials, well, I'm not for that. I'm with your position on that. So pretty much changed his whole thinking on that issue, because someone took the time to explain it to him. And, so citizens can do the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wow, a tremendous opportunity. All right, so how do we find out more information again about Capital 101? How do you sign up? I mean, give us everything we need to know.
Yeah, so the best thing to do, as Sean mentioned, is to go to mncatholic.org. And you'll see right there on the front page, there'll be a link to Capital 101 where you can see the rundown of everything that we've said here, what's going to go on during the day. It'll have a link to registration, and it's free. It's totally free, so you can just click, put your information in, and then get all registered. But it's really important to register so that we know that you're coming, even though it is free, that registration is still required. So again, mncatholic.org. So you can go there and get all the information that we talked about today with the dates, again, February 26th, March 16th, and April 17th.
And I think, because I've visited the website fairly recently, I think that you can also see some of those cute little videos that you were talking about, too.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah,
absolutely.
I think I first saw that at Catholics at the Capitol, is kind of Paul Bunyan-esque figure as the standard Catholic Minnesotan. I just thought that was pretty brilliant. Anyway, it's very good. What about just I know at Catholics at the Capitol, one of the things that y'all did a great job at was making us aware of some of the bills that were coming up that legislative session. Anything we need to know that's coming up this legislative session that we as Catholics should be particularly concerned about?
We're doing a little bit of thematic advocacy this year. We'll be having some surrogacy legislation coming out. We'll also be having some anti-pornography legislation that we'll be coming out with. We're working with the authors right now on what exactly that looks like. We've got some good environmental issues, Human Right to Water Act, a very basic need for all of us, protecting our, in our land of 10,000 lakes, protecting our waters. So, obviously, school choice is, always kind of on the radar, but it's going to be a short session. It's typically a bonding year this year coming up, so probably not a ton of policy. We do have some things we're excited about.
And maybe if I come to Capital 101, I can find out what that means.
You'll find out a lot more. And you can also find out about our issues at mncatholic.org, as Rachel said. So.
Excellent. Excellent. Okay. So just in our closing couple of minutes here, just want to ask you just for a word of encouragement to those who maybe, again, right there sitting on the fence saying, I don't know if this is something I want to do or not. What would you do to kind of just tip them over the fence? Sean?
One person can make a difference, and come down to be that one person. We'll give you all the tools for the toolbox, and we'll walk you through it. We'll be there with you.
Walk them along the way. Rachel, any thoughts from you?
Yeah, I would say this is a really practical way to be the hands and feet of Jesus in the world and here in Minnesota. So I would say respond to the call of Christ and the call to be a missionary disciple and come on down to Capital 101.
Wonderful. Rachel Herbeck, Sean Peterson from the Minnesota Catholic Conference, thank you so much for joining us on the Rediscover Hour.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
All right. We are going to take our next and our last break. And then when we come back, we've got all sorts of community events going on, including Capital 101. So stay with us.
Discover.
Catholic United Financial, based right here in the Twin Cities, has been part of helping this Catholic community for nearly 140 years. I'm John Ginther of Catholic United Financial. Catholic United Financial provides members with quality life insurance and retirement saving options, while giving them opportunities to impact their Catholic parishes, schools, and community. Catholic United is not for profit. We transform profits into purpose. As a fraternal insurance company, Catholic United provides our members with excellent insurance and financial products, and we return our profits to our Catholic communities in the forms of grants, scholarships, and assistance. Let me help you personally with a life insurance or retirement product. You're not only protecting your family, you're also providing for the greater good of our Catholic community. Give me a call, John Ginther, at 612-644-0563. Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, we're there for life.
Come with your light and fill up my heart. Oh, great light of the world, fill up my soul.
Here is Paul Sadek, the legend, with a quick look at events in the Archdiocese, brought to you by the family-owned Quick Trip stores in the Twin Cities area.
The legend?
Yeah.
You're legend.
In my own mind.
You're legendary, Paul.
Yeah. You are legendary.
All young adults ages 18 to 39 are invited to come to the Winter Theology on Tap series. It's at O'Gara's in St. Paul. Topics focus on faith and contemporary issues that directly affect the lives of young adults. Join us this Wednesday, January 17th, to hear from Catholic Studies professor Dr. Robert Kennedy, who will speak on the topic, Social Justice, Not What You Think It Is. Social Hour, 6:30 to 7:30 p.m. Dr. Kennedy begins at 7:30 p.m. For more information, visit the events page on archspm.org.
You know, Dr. Kennedy's talk there, that ties in really nicely with that Capitol 101 we were
Absolutely.
Just talking about.
Yeah, both great events.
Yeah. You're also invited to Healing the Whole Person Retreat, which is being held at the Church of the Epiphany in Coon Rapids. The retreat will be held from January 18th through 20th and includes talks on Introduction to Healing the Whole Person, Facing Our Brokenness, Encountering the Father's Love, and Living in Freedom. For questions and more information, visit epiphanymn.org or contact Jill Fink at jfink@epiphanymn.org.
The Office of Marriage, Family, and Life invites you to join Archbishop Hebda for his annual Prayer Service for Life, Monday, January 22nd, 10:30 a.m. at the Cathedral of St. Paul. This prayer service commemorates the millions of lives lost to abortion and the many women and men wounded by abortion's aftermath. Immediately following the prayer service, we'll walk to the state capitol for the MCCL March for Life rally. That's Minnesota Citizens Concern for Life. For more information, visit the events page at archspm.org or call the Office for Marriage, Family, and Life, 651-291-4488.
Men, don't miss the Catholic Watchman Rally, Saturday, January 23rd from 6:30 to 9 p.m. at St. Bartholomew Catholic Church in Wayzata. All men are welcome to come together for prayer, confession, dinner, and a talk by Bishop Cousins on Christ the Man, why God the Father begot a Son, and what that means for all sons of the Father.
And grandparents, that would include me. You're invited to the Your Life, Your Legacy Grandparents Seminar, being held Sunday, January 28th at St. Joseph Catholic Church in Rosemount, 12:30 to 1:30 p.m. We all want to leave a legacy. Legacy writing is a perfect way to start planning your estate in a faith-filled way. Bill Marcella, the Director of Partner Relations at the Catholic Community Foundation and Certified Legacy Facilitator, will speak on the topic. For more information, visit CatholicGrandparenting.org or visit the events page at rediscover-faith.org. That's CatholicGrandparenting.org or rediscover-faith.org.
And just another plug for that Capitol 101 event or events that are coming up. That program, again, you can find out all the information, the nuts and bolts, at mncatholic.org. And as January is Pro-Life Month and we are constantly seeking to impose the value of life, or at least offer the value of life to the entire society, from the legislator down to ordinary citizens like you and me. Take a look at that and see how you might get involved. Capital 101 at mncatholic.org. Now, next week, or next time on the Rediscover Hour, we're going to talk about sports.
Oh, boy.
Did you hear me about that?
That'll be interesting.
Well, we've got some sports going on this weekend.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah? Uh-huh. Some that might actually, this weekend and the first weekend in February, got some important sports going on. We're going to talk about with the Academy of Holy Angels Chaplain, Father Michael Tix, and Holy Angels Senior Pete Laird will be on air to join us. We'll also hear from Sonia Corbett, Catholic scripture teacher, host of Bible Study Evangelista, and author of the wine-recommended book Unleashed. That's on the next Rediscover Hour, sponsored by Catholic United Financial, which we are grateful for your sponsorship as well. In the meantime, go to church and be the church.
The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday evening at 9, Saturday at noon, and Sunday morning at 9 on Relevant Radio 1330. Brought to you by Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they're there for life. You can find show archives at rediscover-faith.org and at relevantradio.com, keyword rediscover. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul and Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio. Rediscover.